Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This podcast is also a proud member of the Edu Podcast Network, podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. You can listen to more great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. I created Better Leaders, Better Schools because I was fed up of not having deep conversations, vulnerable, authentic conversations about school leadership. And that's why you keep coming back week after week. You listen to this podcast as an investment in your own leadership development. If you would like to invest in the production of Better Leaders, Better Schools, I have really good news. It's extremely affordable. $1 or $2 a month will go very far and make a big impact. At $10 a month, I'll send you one of my favorite leadership books every 60 days. To become a patron, it's easy. Just click the link in the show notes, become a patron. Thank you for investing in yourself and thank you for investing in this podcast. Thank you for listening every week. Let's get this show started.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
So excited to bring you this episode with a friend, Dr. Phil Carson. He is a guy, a pharmacist that moved from the traditional to the natural way of healing people. And you're going to love this episode because as school leaders, we need to take care of ourselves. And he offers a lot of practical tips on how to do that. And he has a freebie that you can download that will help you stay emotionally, spiritually, and physically well. Other things I love about this conversation is how to avoid purchasing a $2,000 clothes hanger, why quitting is the only true failure, the problem with thinking nobody can do it better than me, and the power of interval training. And now for Dr. Phil's bio. Well, ladies and gents, may I introduce to you Dr. Phil Carson.
Hello, Daniel. I'm honored to be on your show today. This is it's amazing. I know you're doing some great work with school leaders, and I appreciate what you're doing. Glad to be a part of it today.
Thank you for those kind words, Phil. Let me ask you this. What inspired you to pursue a career in health and medicine?
It was something that I decided to do as a senior in high school, that I wanted to pursue the field of pharmacy. And so that's what I did. Graduated from pharmacy school in 1985 and with a degree in traditional pharmacy. And as years progressed, people began to come into the pharmacy asking me questions about natural products and natural medicine and herbals and things that I was not taught about in school. I was taught the history of natural medicine, not the application of it. So I set out on a course at that time to find out more and to learn more. Started traveling to and taking courses and learning as much as I could about natural products, and have over the years shifted my practice of pharmacy more toward natural pharmacy.
Was that a culmination of all these events of people asking for those natural solutions to health issues, or was there a specific moment where you made that shift from traditional to natural?
Yeah, it was a slow transition. You know, as I learned the things I was learning in about natural products and natural therapies and began to share those with my patients and recommend things to them, they would come back to me and just say, wow, I can't believe, what you told me, how well it's working. And, this thing you told me to do or this thing you gave me, it's changed my life. And I would get those kind of responses, and that just fueled my passion to learn more. And as I did, and I learned more and I applied more and saw those kind of results, I just said, hey, this is my passion. This is what I love to do and see in counseling with people and coaching people to better health. With seeing those results, I made the decision that this is the way I want to go. And I started moving in totally in that direction. And as of now, I'm in a position to where, with all that I've learned and the practice that I've done, I'm about to go into practice with a local MD here. We're opening up a medical clinic together that we're going to call the Life Transformation Medical Center. And it'll be an integrative medicine clinic where we integrate traditional medicine along with natural medicine.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing. And what scares you about doing that? Because it just sounds so powerful to serve the community in that sort of way.
Yeah.
So Phil, that integrated approach to medicine, I think is really exciting and a great resource for the community. And speaking of resources, I think your blog is an incredible resource for school leaders. And that's at carsonnatural.com. We're going to link that up in the show notes.
Yeah.
And a lot of the posts I really enjoy. The first one being something about the seven essentials to your health. And can you unpack a little bit about the seven essentials for us?
Sure, Daniel. I've got what I call the seven essentials to living a more balanced, healthy, and vibrant life. Sometimes I call them the seven essentials to happy, healthy, and whole living. But these seven essentials spell out the acronym of NEWS, N-E-W-S, with three extra S's added on. And it starts with nutrition, exercise, water, sleep, supplements, the soul, and the spirit. That makes up those seven essentials. And I think it takes all. We're a three-part being, and it takes all of those to complete us. And when we work on all three components there, as far as our health goes, having a healthy body, you know, healthy soul, healthy, you know, mind and emotions, and healthy spirit, we're more complete, healthy being. And that's these seven essentials, I believe, is what everybody needs to be working on in their lives.
So where could they go to get more information, I guess, to have a more balanced life and definitely incorporate those seven essentials into their daily practice and routine?
With the seven essentials, I have developed a course that's called Fit in 49. It's a 49-day journey to teach these seven essentials, to teach a person how to live a more balanced, healthy, and vibrant life. And this course is available on our website or through our website, carsonnatural.com.
We'll definitely have that linked up in the show notes again so people can check that out. You know, school leaders, we're not different than every other people. We often have really audacious goals, not only for our students and the communities that we serve, but also for ourselves and our fitness. I like your blog post, the 2000 dollar clothes hanger. And it had a great message that I think school leaders need to hear, because sometimes we get busy and then that busyness turns into frustration, leads to some sort of level of thinking that it's just not possible to attain that goal. And then we give up.
Yeah.
So what was the point of that blog post, the $2,000 clothes hanger?
I've had, in the past, I've had one of those $2,000 clothes hangers. You know, we buy these pieces of exercise equipment like treadmills, elliptical machines, or whatever, and we have them a lot of times in our bedroom or in a spare room. And we get excited. We use those things for a period of time, or especially the new year, make New Year's resolutions, New Year's commitments, set goals that, hey, we're going to, you know, get in better shape, going to, you know, get healthier. You know, we hit it hard there for a little while, and then things start to happen, and, you know, pressures and stresses of life and things begin to happen. And we kind of get off track a little bit, and before you know it, you've quit. And that piece of equipment sits there, and you start throwing clothes on it or using it for something else. And that's why I call it a $2,000 clothes hanger. A lot of times that's what ends up happening to it. It becomes a clothes hanger. People just throwing clothes and junk and stuff on it. You know, that can happen. It happens so easy, and it happens too often. But, you know, a lot of people think, well, I failed. But they've got to keep going. You know, you may fail over and over and over, but you can't quit. And that's what I try to encourage people, that you've got to keep going, that you can't quit. Even though you may, you know, fail for a period of time or whatever, or feel like you failed, get back up and go again and keep trying. And you'll finally reach that goal if you don't quit.
Yeah, I love that message. It's extremely positive. You know, it's really hard though, Phil, to not quit.
Yeah.
And so what has helped you in your own personal life to turn it around and pivot so that you keep going, that you give it another shot?
Yeah. There's been quite a few things. You know, I've had some health issues of my own, and I see people, encounter people every single day in my profession as a pharmacist that are dealing with major health issues. And it's because a lot of times they did quit. They quit taking care of themselves. They quit being proactive toward their health and doing the things that were necessary to stay healthy. And they end up in a place in their life where they don't want to be. And it's hard to turn around. It's hard to get things back on track when you hit, get to a certain point. Then I have people come in and see me all the time. They're in a crisis situation. They've gotten a bad diagnosis. They've just been diagnosed with diabetes in a lot of cases. And they say, what can I do? I've got to do something. I've got to change. I don't want to end up like my grandfather that had to have his leg amputated or like my grandmother that died an early death. So those kind of things motivate people. But the things that motivate me and keep me on track is seeing those things and talking to people about those things and dealing with those things and seeing people my own age and younger. I'm 55 years old, and there are people that I know a lot younger than me that die all the time. I recently had a friend of mine that he was 53 years old, just a couple of months ago, passed away from complications of diabetes.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, because he wouldn't take care of himself like he was supposed to. And he died way earlier than he should have. Those kind of things, motivate me. And I encourage people to say, look around, look around at other people and see the health problems that they're dealing with and how sick they are or how debilitated they are. Do you want to end up like that in hopes that that will motivate them to not quit, or if they have quit, to get started again? You can always get started again.
Right.
Encourage people to keep going, to do that.
Gotcha. And what in Fit and 49 helps people, I guess, establish that routine that they need? Because what I hear you say is you're motivated by observational data that you see people that are going through struggles and illnesses that could be avoided, and that motivates you to stay on track.
Yeah.
So let's say a school leader, I mean, I know that they need to be healthy, to be at their best in terms of a leader. So how does Fit and 49 help them with that?
Yeah. Well, with those seven essentials that we teach, each one of them teaches a different aspect of health and the importance of that essential in having a healthy body, a healthy lifestyle, healthy emotions, healthy spirit, all of that. And it helps put all of those together. And in the Fit and 49 course, it's a step by step, and you learn each component or each essential. And at the end, you take all of those and you put them together, you're going to end up in a much better state of health. And as far as leaders, the stresses that leaders deal with, And I know with schools, school leaders especially, and I counsel with and coach, have coached quite a few teachers and school leaders over the years. And that's the major issue that I see them dealing with is stress. The stress that of being a leader itself, as well as all the other stresses that come from the students, that come from the staff. It's a lot of stress. And the Fit and 49 program can help a person learn to deal better with that stress. And the healthier we are physically, emotionally, spiritually, the better we're going to handle the stresses of life. No matter what situation you're in or what type of leadership position you're in or whether you're in a leadership position or not, everybody's dealing with stress to a certain extent. But I know that the school leaders that I've worked with seem to be dealing with a lot more stress this day and time than a lot of other people are.
I think our listeners would agree with that, unfortunately. Do you have maybe two or three like practical steps that leaders can take right after listening to this podcast to help them deal with stress better today?
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the things that I've done in my own life to deal with stress is exercise. But the exercise that I do, when I do exercise, a lot of times what I do is I walk. I get out and I do these walks. And during walks, and if you've got a place where you can walk outside instead of on a treadmill, that's the way to go. Because when you're out in nature and all, and you can just breathe the fresh air and walk, and it's can be a time of solitude. It can be a time of reflection, a time of meditation. And that's what I do a lot of times when I'm walking. I call these walks my prayer walks or my meditative walks, because as I'm walking, a lot of times I'm doing that. I'm praying, I'm thinking on things, and I'm meditating on things that can refresh me and rejuvenate me and restore and heal. And that's what we got to do, with stress. We've got to combat it. And that's one great way to do it. The exercise is a great stress reliever. The other thing, apart from exercise, is to take that time to have time alone, quiet time, where you can meditate, where you can maybe just do something you enjoy doing, a hobby that you enjoy doing, or reading, things that you can be relaxed in, and kind of take your mind off of those stresses. So that's two things I would recommend everybody do, and doesn't cost anything either.
That's right. We like that too. Free it. Better Leaders and better Leaders. You guys heard it from the doctor. He is prescribing you to take a walk and find some time where you can just relax, do something for your soul that gives you more energy. Do that today to help combat stress. Phil, how would you describe your own leadership style, and how did you develop it?
I would describe as a servant leader, and I think it's not so much that I developed it or it was developed in me. I think it's just part of my makeup, part of my personality. You know, I love helping people. I love giving, and that's just part of who I am.
We love servant leaders at Better Leaders as well. I think that's just such a great approach when you put that towel over your arm and say, how can I help you?
Yeah.
I think most quote unquote normal people will respond very well to that type of attitude.
That's right.
I also think that we learn the most from our mistakes. Phil, have you had a worst leadership mistake, and what did you learn from it?
Oh, absolutely. I would say my worst leadership mistake would be trying to be Superman and trying to do it all myself, thinking that, I didn't need any help, that I could do this, I've got this, and, not delegating and trusting other people to do things that that they could do to help me. So, yeah, that would be my big mistake there.
You know, and I constantly look at my to-do list, which is starting to become famous. People love it at my site, betterleadersbetterschools.com. They love it in the community with Big A. And, I have three columns of post-it notes. And one is the backlog of things that need to get done. The middle column is my priorities for the day and the week. And then the last column is my favorite. That's the done pile. And I learned this. I had to learn this from Tom Schwab. And he was earlier in one of the podcasts, I think around episode maybe number 9, I want to say. Mm-hmm. But he looks at that too and says, what can I delegate off of this, right? Backlog of my priorities too.
Yeah.
So, how did you learn to do that? Because to be honest, Phil, I'm really struggling with trying to figure out how to be less of Superman and how to be more of a delegator.
Yeah. Well, I had a big failure in business because of trying to do it all myself. I ended up losing a business and almost everything I own, because I wouldn't allow people to help me, and I thought I could do it myself. So, I mean, that was one of the things that pushed me in that direction to start delegating more and start trusting other people more to help me. And through that, process, I began to realize, hey, I can't do all this. I need help. And, I started to do that. Started to trust people more and say, hey, you take over this. You can do this. Empowered them to do it. It was a decision that I was basically, forced to make.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know sometimes that happens. That's not the way that I would want it to happen to anybody. But that's what happened to me.
And what about trust? Where do you? So I hear you say, okay, be less Superman, delegate more, learn to trust people. How do you? Do you have any tips on how to learn to trust others?
Yeah, sometimes you just have to step out and do it. My thing is that I thought nobody can do it better than me.
Yep.
If I'm a perfectionist, and if it's going to be done right, I've got to do it. And, I heard somebody say one time that after this process of me, this big failure I had, this is something I wish I'd learned before, is that, trust other people to do things. They may not do it as well as you do it, but if they can do it 80% as good as you can do it, then trust them to do it. And, it's about giving up control a lot of times. And I had to learn to give up, that control. And as I've done that, I've trusted other people. It's empowered them, and it's encouraged them to, hey, I can do this. And I tell them, hey, you can do it. Because a lot of times they look at me and say, well, I don't know if I can do that. Yeah, you can. You can do it. So you're not only helping yourself, but you're helping them as well. And you're helping them to grow when you let go of something that you think you can only do and you trust somebody else to do it and give them the power to do it along with the encouragement to do it.
That's so applicable for school leaders, because what I hear you saying too is you're building a better organization by, just jumping and trusting others, encouraging, I heard you say, empowering others to do the work. It's like you crawled through Skype, Phil, and slapped me in the face. But but this quote, nobody can do it better than me. Oh my gosh, you really challenged me with that. Because I think as leaders, sometimes, I'm guilty of thinking that way.
Yeah.
On some level, it might be true sometimes. Maybe based on how God's created me and my talents.
Yeah.
Potentially through the experience that I've accrued. But on some level too, it's kind of self-absorbed thinking that I'm the one who could do it the best.
Yeah.
And by handing it off, by encouraging, by empowering others, maybe they do it 80% of what you could do. Maybe they do it better.
Yeah.
And you never know unless you ask somebody else for help.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's the key thing. You said they're going to do it better. Because sometimes, there's a person out there, the person you may hand something off to or you trust to do something, they end up doing it better than what you could do. Hey, and that's wonderful.
So I love asking non-educators in the traditional sense, right, as a teacher or principal, what class should be added to schools that you're not aware of as being taught right now? So what would you add to our nation's schools?
I would add to the schools some type of preventive health class that teaches the kids the importance of health and being proactive and taking care of their bodies and how important it is, and whatever career choice they decide to go into, they're going to do better in whatever they decide to do, and they're going to be more successful if they're taking care of their own selves better and knowing the importance of doing that on a daily basis. I see so many people walking around sick and hurting and ill and with diseases because they haven't been taught some of the basic things, basic nutrition, basic things about exercise and the importance of what it does for our bodies and for prolonging our lives and our keeping us healthy.
So is there a fit in 49 for schools coming too?
Hey man, that's a great idea, Dane. I hadn't thought about that, but we may need to work on that.
Hey, I'm here to encourage and empower the guests as well.
There you go. Yeah. 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 Well, I taught it in my church, and that's where it originated. Fit and 49 originated in my church, teaching it to the people in my church. Yeah, that's a good idea. We could take it elsewhere.
There you go. And let's pause here for a message from our sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. I'm just like you. I'm a school leader that wants to get better every single day, and that's why I created a free gift for you called The 15 Questions to Unlock Your Leadership Potential. You can grab it today for free by texting the word UNLOCK NOW to 33444. That's UNLOCK NOW to 33444, and The 15 Questions to Unlock Your Leadership Potential will be delivered straight to your inbox. And now back to our show. So as school leaders, we're always very focused on how to avoid distractions and stay focused at work, right? That's a problem that we often encounter.
Yeah.
And I love asking guests, what do you do specifically? Because there might be something that you do that I haven't heard of. I got to steal it. I'm going to adapt it to my own life. How do you stay focused at home? I mean, you got this integrated health clinic that's getting started. That's so exciting. Yeah. So I'm sure you have a million things to do with that. How do you focus on the main thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, I don't do very well at that. But it's something I have been improving on over the past year. I haven't traditionally done very well at staying focused on things and avoiding distractions. A little over a year ago, I hired a coach. His name is Aaron Walker. And, hiring that coach has helped me tremendously in this area of learning to stay focused on things. The things that he's taught me and the accountability that I've gained from having that coach. If a person can hire a coach or a mentor, get a mentor, somebody that can hold them accountable to help keep them on track, that's what I would recommend. It's made a big difference in my life and some of the things that I've learned. And I've also joined a mastermind group, which I've got guys and gals in the group that help keep me accountable as far as the things I'm doing in business and sharing ideas. There's all kinds of different ways and things out there, things we can plug into for ideas and getting other things that people have tried and tested and say, hey, this, it worked for them. Let me try it. So those are some things I've done to improve my disability, so to speak, of being able to stay focused and avoid distractions in my life.
It goes back to that asking for help again, but not help with the work, but just help how to be more effective. And sometimes that takes a little bit of investment of time, sometimes money, in hiring a coach. But yeah, Aaron was episode 11 or 12 on this show. So listeners, feel free to go back, check that out. And if you've been listening to or seen the website, we do offer masterminds for school leaders. And I think the key component of why they work so well is we were designed to exist in community, to not do life on our own.
That's right.
And to have a safe place where you can share your celebrations and your struggles, to be held accountable, to set goals, be held accountable. That's really what helps accelerate your leadership development. And helps you stay focused on the main thing. So that's great. Thank you for sharing that, Phil. So Phil, what would you consider a book that every principal should read right now and why?
Well, pertaining to what we've been talking about as far as, health and importance of living a healthy life, no matter what type of leadership position you're in, I think this book is one that would be very helpful to school leaders. It's a book by a friend of mine, Ken Davis. It's called Fully Alive. And it's a story of Ken's journey back to health. He found himself in a place where he didn't want to be several years ago. And this is a great story with a lot of other stories that he's incorporated into this book other than his own. And it really blessed me and helped me a lot. Even though I'm a healthy person, it helped me to see a lot of things about health and about life that I hadn't really thought that much about. And it's a great book, Fully Alive by Ken Davis.
And we'll link that up for the listeners as well. Phil, besides those nice long walks out in nature, what do you do for fun?
Well, I like to work out. I'm an exercise guy, fitness guy. I like to do those kind of things. And I know that's not fun to a lot of people,
right?
But it's fun to me. I enjoy it. And the other thing is traveling with my family. I love traveling. I love going places and discovering new things and learning things about other places and other people. And that's a lot of fun to me.
Sure. Favorite place you've brought your family?
Favorite place? I guess probably I would have to say the mountains out in Colorado.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful, beautiful out there. We love the Rocky Mountains. I don't know. My kids would probably say Disney World.
Right.
But my favorite place would have to be the mountains.
You know, in looking out at those mountains, my friend, she lived out in Boulder. I think it's the Flatirons out there.
Yeah.
But the one thing, about nature, if it's the ocean for me or mountains, when I struggle with that idea that nobody can do it better than me, when I see a mountain, I don't think like that.
Oh yeah,
because it to me that's a like something that just proves that there's a God and that I have a part to play in this world, but in the grand scheme of things, you know, I'm an average guy, right? Look at these mountains and then look at me.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good dose of humility to just get out in nature, jump in the ocean, climb a mountain. You'll probably become a more servant leader as a result of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You get out there and experience God's creation and beautiful, you know, beautiful nature, and especially those mountains. Wow. That's just, it's just amazing.
So you're a weird guy since you like working out. What do you do for a routine?
I have a routine where I do some body exercises as well as some weights. Do mostly use dumbbells. I'm not a big barbell guy. Use dumbbells and body weight exercises. I do that probably three times. Try to do it at least three times a week. The other days I'm walking and running. Do what we call interval. Try to interval exercise or interval running and walking, where you're walking at a steady pace, and then you go into a fast run or sprint, get your heart rate up, slow it back down, you know, get your breath back, take off again. It's called pace or interval exercise. It works you really well, and it helps increase fat burning, and it also helps improve the heart rate, heart function and strength of the heart muscle as well, that medical studies are showing. So I'm seeing more people begin to incorporate that type of fitness program into their lives.
The interesting thing about that too is sometimes that interval training makes it more playful in your exercise, because you have more of a sustained heart rate, easier pace through that brisk walking.
Yeah.
But then the all-out sprint, I mean, that's what we used to do as kids, right? We'd play tag. You weren't sprinting the whole time, but you were sprinting when you were either trying to tag or not get tagged.
That's right.
And it brings back that kid in me. That's one reason I really like interval training.
Yeah.
If you went to a deserted island, in addition to your wonderful family, who'd be three people that you'd bring with to the island?
Mentioned one of them already, I would think, because he's been a great coach for me, and that's Aaron.
Yep.
Aaron Walker. Another guy that has coached me and coached me some before Aaron, and has been a great mentor to me as well over in recent years, has been Dan Miller. Dan is a great guy. He's the author of 48 Days to the Work You Love, and, you know, he's a great guy. And then, you know, I've got another person I would say probably guy's been a lifelong friend of mine since we were kids, and we still hang out with each other whenever we can and spend time together and, you know, help each other, encourage each other, childhood friend named Mickey Mitchell.
So Phil, congratulations. You made it to the end. This question's a whopper though. You are building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by your budget. Your only limitation's your imagination. How would you create the school if you're given a blank slate and unlimited resources? What would be your top three priorities building this school?
I would say, number one priority would be set the school up in a way that it was geared for the students based upon their learning styles and abilities. I wouldn't try to put everybody in a box, try to say, you know, this is the curriculum, this is the course, and this is the way we're going to do it. I think that may be some of the problems in certain schools today, that we try to put everybody in a certain box and say, and some kids can succeed in that, and some can't. And, you know, different people learn in different ways, and different personalities, different genetic makeup. And I would like to see school is more geared toward an individual and an individual's learning style. I would like to see a school where, you know, the teachers, were encouraged to work with kids that are having issues and are having problems, and give them other opportunities, and recognize that these teachers were taught to recognize certain situations with a child. And say, hey, I think this kid will learn better in this situation. Let's put him over here. Let's put her over here, and let's see what and see how they do. A lot of times I think, because there is, you know, these structured, environments and these structured ways to learn, you know, these kids get pushed aside, and, it's not that they're not smart. They just don't learn the same way. And, you know, they need certain kind of help. And when they get that help or they get pushed in the right direction, they thrive. And, you know, I would like to see a school where, you know, the teachers and the administration are working together in unison to make it all happen, and where the administrators were more servant leaders, like what I was talking about earlier, the my type of leadership. You know, I think that the leaders in schools today need to be more servant leaders. I know in local school here where my kids have gone to school, we had administrator, superintendent like that at one time. He was a tremendous servant leader. He loved to get out and into the schools and help the teachers. And he would, you know, a lot of times he would be out early in the morning, helping them get kids out of cars and greeting the kids and greeting the parents and, just doing everything he could to help. You know, sometimes we get put in a leadership position and, you know, we think, hey, we're up here now. We don't have to get down here, on these other people's level anymore. But, I would love to see that in teachers or leaders that have that type of attitude and leadership style of being a servant.
Well, Phil, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
A parting, words of advice would be to do everything you can to live a more balanced, healthy, and vibrant life. You know, our health is our greatest asset we have. If we lose our health, we've lost everything. So I encourage every leader, you know, don't neglect your health. Take care of yourselves. And I want to offer a free guide based upon these seven essentials we talked about earlier, Daniel, and they can, anyone that would love to have this free guide can go to carsonnatural.com/betterleaders. And there they can get the free guide and also some information about the Fit in 49 course that we offer.
That's great. I encourage all the listeners to check that out. Again, that's carsonnatural.com/betterleaders for the seven essentials guide to a fit and more vibrant life.
There you go.
So Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Phil. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Phil in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up where you'll get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. On most mobile phones, you can tap on the cover art and a show notes page will magically appear. Phil, thank you so much for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Thank you, Daniel. I appreciate it. It's been an honor to be with you today and share with your listeners.
Well, I appreciate it. Hey, Better Leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Do you want to be awesome? I know you do. Please leave a 5-star rating and review for us. Click the podcast artwork and long press the show some love link. That'll bring up a page where you can leave a review. This helps the show stay relevant in iTunes and reach a wider audience that wants to become a better leader. If you'd like to connect with me, and I would love to connect with you, there are also links in the show notes. The blog and podcast has an audience in over 100 countries. Connect with me via email, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or the website betterleadersbetterschools.com.